5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
When I had come down this hill, I had seen this creature cross the road. It would have ripped my locked door from my truck, extracted me from my vehicle, and there wouldn't have been a damn thing I could have done about it.
This thing, I got to notice in its eyes. Its eyes was real, real evil, real sinister. The look it was giving me.
What are you reporting?
Jesus Christ, you better... Sheriff, see ya!
Hello?
Get somebody out here.
What's going on now, sir?
That son of a bitch is about 6'9", I don't know.
Do you see him now, sir?
Yes, I'm looking right at him.
Uh-oh.
Welcome to Sasquatch Chronicles, a place where people share their encounters. Let's start the show. Welcome to the show, everyone. Thanks for being here tonight. Got a great show planned for you tonight. Before I get into that, I'm in the process of developing a new show. I really think the fans are going to like it. You know, monsters come in many forms. Everything from us as humans could be monsters to cryptids to many, many other forms. Everything with Sasquatch will remain the same. I'll still do the same Sasquatch shows. And as we get closer to announcing this new show, I'm getting really excited about it and can't wait to present it to you guys. So look for that coming up here in the near future. And again, as we get closer, I will be talking more and more about it. If you get a chance, check out SasquatchChronicles.com. You can become a member on the site, get additional shows. Also, if you're looking for Sasquatch Chronicle gear, the store there is available on the site. I hope you get a chance to go in there and get yourself something nice, or maybe a gift for someone else with the holidays coming up. Cool sweatshirts, guys and girls stuff. If you get a chance, check it out. As always, if you've had an encounter and you'd like to be on the show, shoot me an email, wes@sasquatchchronicles.com. And if you've sent me an email in the past and I haven't responded, please resend it. I know there was an issue going on with the email. It seems to be fixed now. So if you've had an encounter and you'd like to be on the show, my email address is wes@sasquatchchronicles.com. Tonight's an interesting night. I'll be having two guests coming up. My first guest is actually Phil. And Phil's from Minnesota, and he had an encounter back about 10 years ago when he was hunting. Very, very interesting encounter. Also be speaking to Jacob, and Jacob had a kind of a roadside sighting when him and his girlfriend were out one night. Should be a great show, and again, thank you so much for being here tonight. Let's jump into it. Phil, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here tonight. I really appreciate it.
Hey, Wes, it's my pleasure. I love your show, and I've heard enough encounters on there that are similar to mine that I thought I'd give you a call and share it with you.
No, I appreciate it. And what state did this happen in?
This is in Minnesota. I live in southern Minnesota, and it was about 10 years ago. I was going grouse hunting in north of Hinckley, Minnesota. It was in a little town called just east of a little town called Willow River, Minnesota.
If you would kind of talk about what you were doing at the time and then walk us right into the encounter.
So I was going to go grouse hunting, just myself, no dog, just myself and a little 20 gauge shotgun. And I probably got up there. It was right about this time of year. Grouse hunting has been open for a couple of weeks. The leaves were falling off the trees and whatnot. So I'd hunted up there before, and there's a lot of state forest land up there, that a lot of logging trails and this sort of thing. And there used to be grouse up there. So I get up there and I park and I head down a logging trail. I'm not seeing any grouse or whatever. And I kind of get off the trail and I still think I got my bearings straight as where I am, but my first little jaunt out there, I got a little spun around and I was having a hard time finding my way back to my Jeep. And I was getting a little nervous because I couldn't find the road again. That's just kind of a prelude, because when I did finally find my way back to the car, I still wanted to continue to hunt, but I certainly didn't want to get lost. So on the other side of the dirt road, there's another logging trail that goes straight into the woods. And I probably walked straight in down there about, I'd say, a half mile from the dirt road. And then there was a little crook in the road. It bent to the left. And I says to myself, I'm going to, count off like 100 paces. And then I'm just going to take another 90-degree left and then walk back. It's just so I knew I could get back to the dirt road. Okay. Well, where I decided to come back towards my car or my Jeep, I encountered some real hardcore, they call it buckthorn up here. It's nasty, prickly. I mean, like barbed wire you're walking through. But I wanted to stay on this course. Nobody in their right mind would walk through this stuff. But I had this agenda, and I, like I said, I didn't want to get lost. So that's the only reason I'd be going. That's the only reason anybody would walk through this stuff. Okay, so here's where it gets a little bit interesting in my mind. I'm getting through the real thick stuff, and I can, the leaves are on the ground, and the only sound being heard is the sound of my feet, kind of through the dry leaves. Well, then I hear something else. I hear something getting up, and it's not a grouse, and it didn't alarm me. I've hunted my whole life. I totally expected to look up and see, some white-tailed deer or something like that running along or whatever. I scared something up, and it was just off to my left about, I'd say 15 yards. Well, I look up, it's like I say, expecting to see some deer or something like that, and there is something running away from me. Not like this would be about 10 o'clock in my perspective, and it's running out and across, so it's running towards like 1 o'clock, and this thing is moving so fast, and it's not a bear, it's not running on down on the ground or anything like that. There's something upright running at a speed that my brain couldn't even catch up to it. I saw this black thing. The further it got out there, my brain and my eyes kind of melt. I mean, this thing must have ran 80 yards in 3 or 4 seconds. It was just a blur. And it wasn't crashing. I've heard a lot of your shows and you can hear this thing crashing. It wasn't making any sound like that. It was just, it almost looked like it was flying across the ground. Okay, so I'm still in the woods. There's trees all over. I can see it. Every time we would run behind a tree, I'd see it disappear for a split that area, split whatever, and then pop out the other side. Well, it gets up to right about 1 o'clock on my, looking straight ahead, basically a little bit to the right, and there's a larger tree out there. And all of a sudden, it does not pop out the other side of this tree. And I recall thinking to myself, I was like, did that thing just stop behind that tree? So I'm standing back there, and I've got blaze orange on and everything like that, it's common for grouse hunters. And I'm staring at that tree, and all of a sudden, this thing swings out, and it's staring right at me. It's not like looking for me. It knows exactly where I am, and it's standing there staring at me. And my brain just thought it was a person, because it looked like it had a head and shoulders and arms and legs, and it all happened so fast I didn't know how to describe it in my brain. I thought it was a person. Okay, so this guy's sitting there looking straight at me, a big guy, by the way, looked like a guy in a like a black snowmobile suit and a black motorcycle helmet. meaning that it didn't really look like he had much of a neck or whatever, but he's staring right at me. My dad had always taught us when we, you know, kids growing up learning how to hunt, that if you run into people in the woods, you got to wave at them and let them know you're out there hunting, and they'll usually wave back at you. So the thing's staring right at me. I guess I'm thinking it's a person because it all happened so fast. So I'm over there waving at it, and it doesn't wave back. It just stands there. It just stands there staring at me. And I was like, what? Why wouldn't this dude wave back at me? Anyways, then what it does is it just stands there, and then all of a sudden it goes back behind this tree like it was, and it didn't drop down like a bear would or anything like that. It was standing there. It was standing when it turned the tree to look at me, and it was standing when it went back behind the tree. And now, you know, I'm a little bit miffed as to what's going on. I don't really know what I thought. I certainly wasn't thinking right at that time, Wes, that it was any sort of Bigfoot, or it never crossed my mind. But there's no way that this was a person, because no person could run this fast. No person, there's just no way it could have been a person, because even though I thought it was a person, in hindsight, nothing could move like this. Nothing could move this fast. Okay, so I didn't know what to do. I was debating whether just to walk back through the briars here and just back to the trail and come out the other way and just get the heck out of there. I wasn't scared or anything, and it didn't make any noises or any grunts or anything like that. It was just all kind of weird. So I, you know, just, you think to yourself, and you know, I was like, Phil, just come on. You got a gun, you know, just let's continue our trek up there, away, and, you know, don't worry about it. But I did keep my eye on this tree, and I kept my eye on that tree the whole time I was moving up that way. Oh, I should say this. You know, it looked, as I said, it looked much like a person silhouette. It almost looks like almost every silhouette you see of Bigfoot, like the one on your homepage or whatever. But it appeared to have very short legs. They seemed to almost be cut off just below where you'd think a human's knees were. Okay, anyway. I finally made it up to where this tree was, and there was nothing there. There was nothing behind the tree. I didn't look around on the ground for any footprints or anything, because I wasn't really thinking that. It was just a very mysterious, strange thing, and I did notice that the ground was quite a bit lower up by where this tree was, and I thought perhaps that would explain why I think it was, you know, at least 6 or 7 inches taller than what I had seen from, you know, from 80 yards back. But that's pretty much the end of my story. I mean, I had then later, and I do business with some companies up in that area, and in talking to a gentleman a number of years later, I said, "Hey, Rick, I should tell you a story about what happened to me when I was out hunting or grouse up near Willow River." And the guy says to me, "Well, what are you going to do, Phil? Tell me some sort of Bigfoot story?" And I was like, "Well, why would you say that?" And he says, "Oh, there's been a few crazy stories come out of this Willow River area." So I Googled it, and true enough, they were almost identically to where I, almost exactly where I was. You know, that's about the best explanation I could say that it was, because I've heard on your show before that these things can show an amazing amount of speed if they have to. I'd also, as I had told you a couple days ago, I had read that one of the Native American tribes' name for Bigfoot, what its name was, what it meant was one who runs and hides, was the Native American translation for that. And it's still unexplained to me. Again, and I've told this story to my friends. I tell this story to a lot of people. I've never told it to any kind of Bigfoot, you know, guy like yourself or anything. But, in fact, like I say, I like your program. You know, I think the thing that I think when I was going through these briars or whatnot, I personally think it was using that as kind of a moat for his, you know, maybe he was napping on the other side and he just knew that it was like a, you know, like a little barrier that nothing's going to come and bother it on the other side of this. But I did, you know, and, but nobody else would be walking through that stuff.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. I looked up the Native American name that you're talking about. I can't pronounce it, but it the meaning of it is the one who runs and hides. And I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. Well, it pretty much put the right dab on, you know, what it did to me, you know, or, and like I say, if it wasn't just so weird, the only reason I felt weird about it is because, you know, why wouldn't this dude wave back at me? But, again, saying dude or person, because that was just, I mean, it all happened so fast. It all, my brain could even barely wrap around just the amount of speed that this thing was running. And, you know, I didn't see it like, you know, the typical mechanics of a person run, you know, they get their arms pumping and, you know, they get, you know, I didn't see any of that. And I didn't hear, it wasn't making a sound in the woods. It wasn't, I didn't hear the earth pounding or anything like that. It was almost like I think I heard on one of your shows, the thing seemed to be almost flying, like just off the top of the ground. But I assure you, it was upright the whole time. And the further it got out, my brain and everything kind of started to focus in on that. And when it stopped behind that tree, I knew it stopped behind that tree. Anyway, so that's my story, and I'm sticking to it because that's what happened to me.
It's really interesting. I've talked to witnesses before that have seen him running. And there's a lady I just talked to probably about 3 weeks ago. And she saw this thing running. And she said, Wes, it was almost like it was floating. And I said, floating like a ghost? And she said, yeah. I mean, she said it was just so fast. And the way it moved, like a ghost. She goes, it wasn't a ghost. It was physical. But the way it moved, it was just effortless. And it was just so like a blur.
That's what this was. That's why my brain, it was like a blur. But it was an upright blur, I assure you and your listeners. It was not any bear. And I've seen bears before. A bear would run the other way. A bear wouldn't even, you know, give you the pleasure of even seeing it. It was, wasn't a bear, and it wasn't a person, but it looked a hell of a lot like a person. Big person. Black person. Big black-colored person.
How far away from you was it when it stopped at the tree and was peeking out looking at you?
I'd say 80 yards. And it wasn't really peeking out. It actually came out full center. I saw both of his arms, both of his legs. I saw his head. You know, now that I've had all this time to, you know, recount the whole thing, it looked like a Bigfoot is what it looked like. Because very, very much, like I said, it looked like a guy in a snowmobile suit and a motorcycle helmet. That's only suggesting that, you know, it just had a big old round head on it with no real neck visible. But it was about 80 yards away. And like I said, it came out and knew exactly where I was, stood there, wouldn't respond to any sort of myself waving at it. And I'm not in the habit of waving at bears or waving at whatever, monsters. Like, again, I thought it was a guy only because it looked like a person, or it looked like a big person. And, you know, my brain couldn't wrap around the whole thing.
Yeah, and the other part I find interesting, your description of the legs, how it seemed to have shorter legs. I wanted to ask you, when you're looking at it, and I realize your brain at the time is saying, that's a person. Was it proportioned like a person, or was it more proportioned like a gorilla?
Well, I'll tell you what it was proportioned like. It was proportioned like almost every Bigfoot picture you see on the, you know, it was proportioned much more like a gorilla. I'll say that, yeah. But I wasn't thinking it was no gorilla, obviously. I'm a big guy. I'm 6'8", and, this thing seemed to be every bit of that, except for the fact that, like I said, its legs looked extremely short, but with the recessed round up there, I'd say it throws out another, whatever, 6 or 7 inches. And as I've heard that, I don't know what bone that is between your knee and your ankle, but oftentimes Bigfoots have a shorter one than humans.
Yeah, a lot of witness reports, their knees fall about where our shins are at when they see them. So they kind of appear, have this weird appearance when they run. When you left that day, was it just confusion? Were you just confused by what you saw?
Yeah, absolutely. I was very confused. I wasn't all stressed out over it or anything. It was just a very, it was just a strange, unexplained. It was like a unidentified, because it was like a, let me think. It was like a unidentified fleeing object. it was an unidentified fleeing object, but. And if it had just fled and I'd never seen it again, or it didn't stop behind that tree and turn around to check me out, that would have been two different things. If it would have just ran past the tree or ran all the way out to the road and past that or whatever, it probably wouldn't have had me thinking as much. But when it turned around, stared right at me, knew exactly where I was, and then would not give me any kind of gesture that it saw me out there hunting, and that would kind of suggest that, you know, it was another person, and they'd give you some form of acknowledgement. But in hindsight, as I said, there is no way that this was a person, because of just, like I said, 80 yards, and I'd say just a blink of an eye. That's why my brain could barely wrap around the thing. It was just a blur going out there, but the further it got out, find those trees, and all of a sudden stop behind that one. I was like, what the heck? And that's the story I tell, and that's the way it happened. And, you know, I've heard a lot of your shows. They're pretty crazy things. I thought this might be a little too tame for your show, but that's a true story that happened to me. And, you know, if I wanted to make it sound bigger and badder, I'd make up a bunch of crap, but this is a true story, and it's so easy to tell because that's exactly what happened. Yeah, so I never saw it again. I didn't look up in the tree or anything like that. I didn't look to see if it was a hollow tree. You know, these are all things I had heard after this, you know, things that are could be things like that. But a buddy and I were going to go back up there this year. It's been about 10 years, and I was telling a couple of my buddies about it, and they said, hey, we should go back up there and, you know, bring some GoPros and things like this. And, these guys got real excited. I was like, you know, I had heard a few of your shows, and it's like, you know, be careful what you're doing out there. You might, you know, be careful what you wish for. You might, you know, maybe it's not the best idea to get that. So that was the last time I grouse on it.
No, I appreciate all people's stories and all people's encounters. And, you know, not every encounter is going to be a violent encounter. There's a lot of hunters, and I tell this, I've told this story a million times. I knew a hunter here in Washington State, and he kind of balked at the idea of Bigfoot. And I didn't bring up Bigfoot to him. I just said, have you ever seen anything strange out in the forest? And he said what he saw was a bear upright running. Then I said, well, how fast was it running? And he said, maybe 30 miles an hour. The black bear here in Washington State, this guy knows better, they're sloppy when they get up on two legs. They don't run at 30 miles an hour.
I've seen the ones in the circus. They can barely stand up.
Yeah, so I think there's a lot of, and that's why I appreciate your encounter so much. I think a lot of encounters happen like this. A lot of hunters, this is what they run into, and they're not really sure. They don't think it's Bigfoot, but they have no explanation for what they saw. They don't ever look into Bigfoot. They just say, hey, I saw this weird guy running at some inhumane speed.
Yep.
And it makes no sense. I thought it was a black bear. It was all black, but it was more proportioned like a person running at some ridiculous speed, and they have no explanation for it. Well, you know as well as I do, that wasn't a person and that wasn't a bear, so what was it?
Yes, that's exactly right. And it, and your brain doesn't just trip on and say, hey, there's a Bigfoot. You know, your brain just doesn't work that way. If it looks like a person, you're gonna think it's a person, because nobody's gonna be waving at bears or waving at monsters in the woods. But I know it wasn't a person. I know it wasn't a person. I know it wasn't a bear either.
And I think it's interesting, too, that you're 6'8", and this thing was about your size. You know, most people aren't that tall. Most people aren't that size. And you're right. You know, when you're out hunting, every time I've come across another hunter, you wave, they'll wave back. Even your biggest dick out there will wave back at you. It's just common courtesy.
Right. You got a gun, yeah. And your show, whatever, just seemed like the perfect forum to tell it on because, you know, I think, you know, I don't think it's quite as, like I said, I'm not going to embellish on the story. I ain't going to make stuff up about it. That's what happened, and that's the end of the story, you know, and, I didn't look for any prints or I didn't, you know, that's just the way it happens. And people around here, I tell a story all the time. They love that story, and it's a true story, and that's why I tell it all the time. So,
well, I appreciate you coming on and sharing the encounter with us.
Well, I appreciate your, I appreciate your show. I appreciate your listeners, and I appreciate the other people calling in and telling their stories.
No, absolutely. Well, thank you, Phil.
Hey, thank you, Wes. Good luck to you, and good luck to all your listeners, and everybody be safe out there, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. It was my pleasure, Wes.
The pleasure was mine.
Take care, bud.
Next up, I want to welcome Jacob to the show. Jacob had a very interesting encounter, kind of a roadside sighting of two of the creatures. Jacob, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here tonight.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Happy to be on the show.
No, I'm happy to have you on. If you would kind of start from the beginning, tell the audience what you were out doing, and then walk right into the encounter, if you would. Tell us what you experienced.
Sure. Well, my girlfriend and I, we both live in La Crosse, Wisconsin. It's kind of right in the corner where Minnesota and Iowa meet. We like going out for drives. We will take these blue bridges out of town into La Crescent and then hang a left onto some, it's a state highway. It goes west out of town and it goes into like farmland, marshy areas. Like you're right on the base of the bluff. It's great night driving. You get to see lots of animals like possums and deer and raccoons and stuff. And so coyotes too, we've been seeing those lately. And, we'll go out there like 3-4 times a week. And I always joke that we're playing the lottery because if you, you know, play enough scratch cards, eventually you might win like $5 or $10. And so whenever we go out, you know, sometimes we'll listen to your show on the car speakers and we'll talk about it. And joke like, hey, we're out here, we're out here enough. Eventually you got to see something. And this was just a couple days ago. And we left around 11 and we drive to Houston, Minnesota, in Houston County. And we'll turn around there and then we'll come back into town. And it was probably close to midnight. And we were heading back in and we were about 5 miles outside of La Crescent heading towards civilization. And it gets foggy in some areas, the lowlands over the water when it cools down, you'll have like isolated fog banks. And so we had drove through one heading out of town and then we were coming back into the same one. And I'm looking out the window and like, this is a road that we've taken dozens and dozens of times. So I'm very familiar with it as it gets closer to town. And so I'm, you know, looking out the window and we're going through this fog bank and it like happened so quick. There were these two black figures, not on the side of the road, but a good 15 yards, 20 yards off of it in this field. And I say field, but if anybody is listening and familiar with the area, it can look like a field, like a grassy field, but you take a wrong step and you're like waist deep in water. It's really marshy. The ground is unstable. Most of the time there's water underneath it. And these things were in the, you know, if you drive through fog, you're kind of in like a basketball or something and the wall of fog is all around you. Well, they were inside. I would say they were about halfway from us to the end of where we could see our field of view. And we drove by and it was like a couple seconds, and I didn't say anything to my girlfriend. I didn't know if I wanted to turn around. It just happened so fast. I almost couldn't believe what I had seen. And I'll get into that. We were driving by, and there's two like jet black figures standing off of the road. And at first I thought they were people because they were tall, and it was like a vertical mass. Like you'll see deer, or the only other thing I could think about being out there would be a moose, because they got the long legs and they can move through water like that. But yeah, as we drove by it, there was no body behind it. Like as we got around the other side, it was just all vertical. And I've done that drive at night many times, and there's no signs, there's no like electrical poles, you know, there's nothing. We went back the next day and drove the same route into town just to see if there was something like a tree stump or whatever that I could have seen instead, but there was nothing. It's just really low, scrubby bushes and this field grass. The two figures that I saw, one was large and one was small. And the first one, I didn't see any arm or leg definition. It was kind of like an upside down pyramid coming out of the grass, but much narrower. You could see that as the body went up, the shoulders just got ridiculously wide. Like that's what caught my attention. At first I thought it could be people out here because we're close enough to farmland, like close enough to the road. I don't know what they'd be doing out there, but they had like a human-like quality about the way that they were standing there. But as I drove by, I caught a glimpse of this, the first figure's just really, really, really wide shoulders. And I could see where the arms ended on like across its shoulder. And then in the middle was a hump that I took to be a head, but it was really, really, really low. It was probably like a quarter or a third of the height up from the shoulders that our heads would normally go. And it was like kind of hunched over. And just because it was late and I only saw him for a couple seconds, I didn't know if the small one in front was leading or if the big one was leading. But as we went by him, I could see that in addition to the perspective shift due to the moving vehicle, the big one actually turned its whole upper body to look at the little one. And I got more of a definitive look at the small one. Again, they were jet black. They were almost like an absence of light. Like there was no coat shine, there was no eye shine or headlamps or flashlights and no packs or anything that I could see. But the small one had its arm back, and as we drove by it, like you could almost see through the crook of its elbow. And I just remember that the arm was really low, like the elbow was down by its, like its waist, like down by its hips, and it was slung really far back. And they weren't super huge. I believe if they're down here, they probably would have to be smaller just to hide and whatever. And the big one, I would estimate 7.5 feet tall, if that, like maximum, no taller than that. And the second one, the smaller one, was probably 5.5 foot tall, 5 to 5.5. And I thought it was maybe some dad and his son out there, but just the way that this guy was built and the way that his shoulders were slumped forward and the head was set down low, it was weird. And I didn't get to see any details, but I saw very clear silhouettes. They were backdropped against the fog, which was white, so I could see their outlines perfectly. And it was just really bizarre.
That is bizarre, you know, and it's interesting when I've talked to a lot of hunters when they run into these things. There's one I recently spoke with. He goes, I thought it was a guy. I really thought it was a guy. He goes, but something wasn't right. He goes, the shoulders were too big. The head was sitting in a weird spot. Unless this guy was deformed and a muscle man all in one, something wasn't right about seeing it. And that's interesting. So as you saw this thing, as you're passing by, it kind of clicked. Okay, those aren't people.
Yeah, it was like somebody had like a big 3-day pack that you'd wear on your back, but had instead like slung it across their shoulders. It looked like there was a giant like a fur coat or something up on his shoulders, or like an animal. I mean, I'm not saying that that's what it was, because I didn't see any of that, but it was just super wide. It didn't look right as I got closer to him.
And so what did you do next?
Well, I didn't say anything. And it wasn't until the next day, like we woke up and we were out for another drive. And I told her, I was like, oh, by the way, you know, last night I saw these things on our typical route. And she's like, no way. Like, why didn't you tell me? And like, I didn't want to turn around and like put us in a possibly perilous position, I guess. Also that it was just way too fast. And so we went back the next day and did the drive in daylight and looked for anything that it could have been, but I didn't see anything. It's just all open where they were.
And sometimes people, when they're in those situations, they don't say anything. I've talked to many witnesses that people haven't heard on the show when they're in the car with someone and they see something. There's a famous band, I won't mention them on the air, but the drummer contacted me and they were on a bus. They were going through, I believe it was Minnesota. They were going through Minnesota. The drummer went up front to keep the driver awake. He didn't, and there was a major snowstorm, huge snowstorm. And so they were doing like 20, 25 miles an hour on the highway because it was so bad. And he said he had looked over and up on this hill, he saw what he thought was a gorilla. This is the middle of the day. And he goes, it was all jet black. He goes, but what was weird is it had shoulder pads like you'd see on a football player. It was just standing there watching them. And he goes, I can't give you too many details because it was quite a distance away. But he goes, it was just weird. He goes, at first I thought it was a man standing up on this hill. And as we're going by, I thought he was watching the bus go by. And he goes, it just stood there and watched us as we went by. And I asked him, I said, did you tell the driver? He goes, no, I didn't tell the driver. He goes, I didn't know what I just saw. He goes, it wasn't a person. He goes, the only thing I can liken it to was maybe a gorilla. He goes, but it made no sense. He goes, it was 15 degrees outside, a major snowstorm coming down. And he goes, but this black thing stood out on the snowstorm, standing up on this hill, watching us. And he goes, I can't tell you how big it was. He goes, it was probably twice my size. But he goes, it was just odd. And so I understand that, not really telling your girlfriend. Some people might listen to that and go, well, why didn't you tell your girlfriend? You guys are driving by it. A lot of times in those situations, people don't say anything. They're in such awe and shock. You're not really in a position of danger because you're driving away from it. And so it's hard to process at the moment. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. Don't that's what it was. And it was just funny because it's like, that's what we're out there, you know, looking for, like hoping to catch a glimpse of, you know, the, you know, bottom of your heart, just like, oh yeah, one Bigfoot, come on. And then surprise, like there's two of them on the side of the road, and then you drive by them and they're gone, and you're like, well, shit, like like, what do I do? You know, like it's like thinking you're prepared to see them, and then like actually seeing them, like nothing you think you would do, like stop the car, get out, turn your camera on, you know, get your flashlight on. I'm like, none of that stuff goes through your mind.
Yeah, and the fog makes it even more creepier. Have you gone back and walked into that area during the day?
No, it's off the highway. We would have to, you know, park off and get on the side. And I don't really know what the ground is like down there, because the land is kind of difficult to explain. But as you're heading back into town, it's the land slowly tapers off, and there's like a lake in front of you that slowly like curves out aside in this like wetland, this marshy area. And it was like right in the open. I know exactly where it was, because right after I saw them, I saw the water. Well, they were, you know, had to have been by the bank of this water, and you drive by there in the day and it is just open for a quarter of the mile in basically all directions. There's nothing, there's no trees, there's no fences, there's no posts, there's no signs. It's just, you know, like this grassland, and I want to say the grass is like a foot, 2 foot high maybe, but other than that, there's just nothing out there. But yeah, I would like to walk in.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, and I guess I can't blame you for going out there, especially if the land can be somewhat treacherous. I know you talked to your family about this, and your brother, was it your brother that shared an encounter?
Yeah, he actually told me about this before this happened. I've always been interested in the subject. Like the first time I saw the Patterson-Gimlin film, I had to have been young, and I remember going to the library and getting as many Bigfoot books as I could find, like Jeff Muldrum. Actually, I think you've mentioned him on the show. We actually found his book today at Barnes & Noble, almost got it. But I was going through kind of a phase, and so I was asking my family, because they all live up in St. Louis County, and that it's the largest county in Minnesota. It is the least developed, I want to say. There's so much like untouched forest up there. It's crazy, and it's where we all go to hunt. And my brother told me, I was asking my family, like, do you guys have any stories? And my brother had one. It didn't happen to him, but he was out there with the guy that it happened to. They were out hunting after dark. My brother had come in off of the trail that you walk in on. And this was up, if anybody's listening knows, Virginia, up in Minnesota. St. Louis County, it was a ways north from there. It was about half an hour drive to an hour, on some private land that they knew. Going into the trail, you have to pass a small, like, mining cemetery. It's like a lot of towns popped up, kind of like the gold rush, on the Iron Range when people found out there was iron ore under the ground. And so you'll have like these little overgrown cemeteries kind of tucked away where there used to be a mining town that isn't there anymore, just kind of like relics in the woods. And my brother came back on the trail, and he was sitting in the truck waiting for his other friend. And he sees him come, tearing out of the woods. He's got his rifle. He just looks terrified. He throws his rifle in the back seat, and he doesn't even like turn the safety on. And he just is like shaking, and he's telling my brother to drive, and he won't explain what's going on until they're actually moving. And he said he was taking the same trail out, and he was passing by the cemetery, and he was kind of sandwiched between this little iron gate, this fence, and a stand of pine trees on his other side. And they're really like dense. They're the new ones that come up, and they grow in the spaces in between the tall ones. And so it's just like a wall of pine. You can't really see anything. And he's walking out, and he hears something in the pine stand whistle at him. And it was just once, and then it was quiet. And he thought it was my brother messing with him. And so he whistles back, and he said that the tree line just started making a whole lot of noise. Like, there was something screaming at him. He said it sounded like a very, very angry buff woman just wailing at the top of her lungs and like shaking trees and pulling stuff out of the ground. And he just took off because I guess that's what I would do. They went back the next day. They didn't bring their rifles, but they both had their like 357 sidearms that they both have. And they went back to the same spot, and they found behind this pine tree line, there were piles of pine cones on the ground, and they were in like a pyramid structure, and there was a few of them. And then not far from that, they found a giant like loaf of bread sized pile of orange scat. And they took a picture of it, and everybody up there has like their DNR hookups somehow, so like everybody knows somebody in the DNR up there. And so they send a picture of it to a bear guy and a moose guy and a deer guy. And, they're trying to figure out what this could have come from. And everybody got back to them that they had never seen anything like that before. And they told them, you should have brought a sample back, but they didn't, they weren't equipped for that when they went back. Yeah. And my brother's buddy, he won't go hunting back there again. He is pretty traumatized, and he doesn't like to talk about it.
I don't blame him at all. What did your brother think it was?
Well, he is a logger, so he'll go in and clear lanes in the forest for like power lines or trim existing ones. He's lived up there for like his whole life, and I don't think I've ever heard him say that he believes it was Bigfoot. But after that incident, it was kind of like an unspoken thing, and He said that when he got back to where he lives for the next couple days, there were weird noises outside of his house, and there's kind of like a cattail pond outside of his front door, and he found this big impression as if something had been sleeping out there, like in the tall grass outside his front door, and the whole series of events just kind of put him on edge. But I don't think I've ever heard him say it was Bigfoot or a Sasquatch.
Well, it's interesting. You know, the roadside crossings, I think most people who want to see one, that's the best way to see one when you're in a car and you're driving away from it to look at it, you know, as opposed to running into it face-to-face in the forest while you're hunting or hiking or camping. That's really the way to run into it. It's like the guy I had on Friday night show. He was talking about seeing this heavyset woman all dressed in fur. That's terrifying, man. I mean, you come to him face to face like that, and it's scary, but I guess if you had your choice of encounters, you'd want something more like yours as you're driving by. It still freaks you out, don't get me wrong, but it's different than, you know, you have a way to get out. You have a way to leave.
Yeah, and I didn't, like, I would tell my friends about it, and they were like, oh, no, you know, Bigfoot's not down here. There's no way. It's too civilized. There's too many cities. And, like, La Crosse itself is pretty big. We're 50,000 people, give or take. But you get out into the environment out here, and it's all bluffs and really steep hills, and there's farmlands and all these canyons and valleys that you have to go through really to get anywhere. And something big like that would probably have a field day down here. They could get up and over these bluffs so easy because they're basically like aggrandized hills almost, you know, not close to mountains, but they're bigger than a hill. And they're, you know, the land out here is very easy to conceal yourself in.
Well, I think that these things live on the edge of civilization. I really do. You know, here in where I'm at, for instance, you could be in downtown Portland, literally a concrete jungle, or you can drive 30 minutes north and be in the middle of nowhere. And 30 minutes north is, there's a huge sighting area where a lot of people see these things. So when I say they live on the edge of civilization, I really think these things live on the edge of civilization. You don't have to go 40 miles in the middle of nowhere to possibly run into these things. You know, you go up to Yakult, Amboy, some of the people know the area I'm talking about will understand what I mean. And you could drive 30 minutes and be in downtown Portland, complete concrete jungle. And so I don't think you have to go out as far as people think to run into these things, just like where you're at. You get a little patch of land, you get an area where they can hide, there's food. Your chances of running into them are pretty high.
And there's so much farmland down here too. And I've always thought that the road we go in on follows this river valley between two bluffs. And it would be just a really good travel corridor for them at night. The way it's set up, you have these two roads on either side of this river valley and then farmland in between them. And I imagine it would be kind of like a buffet for them, just coming down from the north, going through these farmlands, get one animal from every other farm and get out of there by daylight. It would be really easy for them to do, because that's kind of like the area that we have. It's more rural. But you drive 30 minutes basically in any direction, and you're going to be out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, and so, you know, and that's what I mean. They really do live on the edge of civilization. You don't have to go too far in. You know, be careful when you go out looking for these things. You know, it's like I say it, and I know it's a corny line, be careful what you wish for, but your chances of running into them are not as low as you think. You go down some of these back roads, and especially if it's late at night when they come down to feed or do whatever they do, your chances of running into them really aren't that low. I think that they live on the edge of civilization. You know, in Oregon, the Tillamook area, which is kind of out towards the coast, a lot of encounters happen out there. And again, you're not that far away from civilization. You're not that far away from the coast, these towns on the coast, where people run into these things. And so, you know, I guess I say that to say this, be careful when you're out there looking for these things. You know, as you know, you can run into them.
Yeah, I guess I'm just interested. I have a question.
Sure.
We talked about it briefly, but How many reports do you get from this area in the Midwest, like lower Wisconsin? Because I know that we have lots of really large state parks up north. And there has been, you know, the Upper Peninsula is mostly woodland, and there's some good vocalization videos I found from the Upper Peninsula, actually. But I guess I wanted to know how many people you've actually, like, interviewed from this area. Like, how prevalent is it?
I don't know specifically the area where you're at. I have talked to a lot of witnesses off the air that will mention Wisconsin. And, you know, I don't know the state. I don't think I've ever even been to Wisconsin. But I will talk to a lot of witnesses that have run into them out there in Wisconsin and Minnesota. And a lot of them you never hear because they don't want to go on the air. But off the air, off the record, a lot. And the other thing, too, in your area, in that general area of Wisconsin, Minnesota, one of the things that people run into out there is a dogman. I get a lot of freaking dogman reports out there, and those people are even harder to get on the air, but they're definitely there. It's not a Pacific Northwest problem. It's a nationwide problem, in my opinion. I know it doesn't really answer your question, but...
Yeah, my girlfriend would like to know what a dogman is. I've listened to, like, every episode of your show, so I know, but...
To answer that question, I don't know. I really don't know what it is. I'd love to say, well, it's this, but I'd be a fool in saying that because at the end of the day, I really don't know what a dogman is. One thing I can tell you about the dogman is the reports on what people are seeing. It's kind of like I had Oscar on last week who had an encounter out there in California, that what he reported from what he saw is consistent across the board with these things. Upright walking canine type being. Other than that, I couldn't tell you what they are. I really don't know.
That is very strange.
Very strange. Yeah, absolutely. I wish I had a better answer for you.
Yeah, it's all right. From what I've heard, I kind of like the baboon kind of theory where, you know, some apes have muzzles, and could it possibly be the same thing? I don't know.
Well, I think with that theory, there is people have ran into Sasquatch and they describe it having kind of a protruding nose and mouth, almost like a baboon. And they're not quite as big as your normal Sasquatch reports. They're actually a little bit smaller. But the dog man, I don't think that's a baboon type Sasquatch out running around. I think people are seeing something different. A lot of times they describe the head being like a wolf, ears on top of its head, and it walking as if you'd see a pit bull or German Shepherd get up on two legs if it were able to and walk around. And that's what people describe. And a lot of people I've really questioned, even off the air, for details. What's interesting is they're not really describing a primate type creature. They're describing a canine that's able to get up and walk on two legs. And I'll ask what their impression was. And I love to ask witnesses what their impression is, because I think when you do that, it gives you more insight. Because if people think, well, it was like a large monkey, or it was like a baboon, or it was like an ape, they'll tell you. But a lot of the people I've talked to, and I said, what is your impression of what you saw? They'll say, I think it was a wolf walking around on two legs, walking around like a man, but it looked like a huge wolf. And that's what people who have actually seen the dogman, that's what they'll say. And I've questioned them pretty hard off the air and say, well, do you think it was more of a primate? And they'll say, no, this isn't a primate. This is some sort of canine that's able to get up and walk around. And normally, I know people listening to this might roll their eyes, but the interesting part is when you talk to these witnesses, they are so consistent on what they saw. And these people don't know each other. Someone from Minnesota doesn't, you know, from California to Texas, and they aren't talking to each other. And so off the air, there's so many details you pick up talking to these witnesses because they are very consistent on what they saw. Every single person I've talked to, they'll say it was evil, there was something sinister about it, and it was absolutely a canine up walking around on two legs. And so I really think the dogman is something separate going on. But to tell you an answer, to say, well, it's this or it's that, again, I'd be a fool doing that to the audience. The audience would see right through that because I really don't know. I don't know what the dogman is. The only thing I can say is people are very consistent on what they're seeing. People who don't know each other are very consistent on what they're seeing.
That's very interesting. Also kind of scary.
Very scary. It's very scary. Because, you know, if everyone was inconsistent across the board, some people said, well, I saw this or I saw that or it did this or it did that. You could kind of brush it off and say, well, they're probably seeing something else or thinking it's an upright walking canine, but it's probably they probably saw something else. The crazy part is people around the country who don't know each other, they're all saying the same thing. And those reports are becoming more and more and more apparent. They're starting to really come out. You know, 20 years ago, no one ever talked about the dog man. I don't know when that term was coined, but 20 years ago, no one ever talked about the dog man. You'd be hard pressed to go back 40 years ago and find dog man reports. There is some out there, but they're very slim to none out there. And now it's starting to come out. More and more people are talking about it. More and more people are describing what they saw. And it's crazy when you talk to them, they'll say it was evil. What I saw was evil. There was something not right about it. So I don't know. I don't know what type of entity or if it's a biological animal. I don't know what the dogman is. I really don't. So I apologize to you. I can't really answer your question. I know it's the worst answer I can give you, but it's a truth. I don't know what it is. It's out there, though. I believe it's out there.
Well, I'll have to keep my eyes peeled for that thing as well.
Yeah, if you see it, definitely run or shoot it. I definitely wouldn't cross paths with it. And I appreciate you coming on the show, man, and sharing what you saw, having the courage to come on and talk about what you saw, what you experienced. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no, it feels good to get it out there. And I guess I'd like to say for any listeners who are in the area and are afraid to come on, you're going to feel better. And I really don't think there's a good chance people are going to find out who you are and harass you about it. I'd like to hear more reports from the area, you know, fellow Wisconsinites. Don't be afraid.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Jacob.
Yeah, no, thank you.
And that's it for tonight, everyone. Remember, if you've had an encounter, please email me. My email address is wes@sasquatchchronicles.com. I would love to speak with you. Until next time, everyone, have a great night.
Something acquired. The lights on.